Just as many were willing to risk their lives and martyr themselves rather than give in on the issue of idolatry or abstention from circumcision. These Jews, refusing to fight on the Sabbath, perhaps believed that to fight on the Sabbath would itself embody a form of concession and submission to religious coercion, a victory for the Hellenists who sought to stamp out the Sabbath itself. Welcome to 15 Minute Maccabees, Episode 3, The Religious Vision of Mattathias. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. It is not too much to say that Menachem Begin was obsessed with the Maccabees, or, as he often more correctly called them, the Hasmoneans. In his first speech following the establishment of the State of Israel, he took pains to link his own revolt of the 1940s with that of the Jewish family of Modi'in millennia before. Begin said, quote, "Today is truly a holiday, a holy day, and a new fruit is visible before our very eyes. The Hebrew revolt of 1944-48 has been blessed with success. The first Hebrew revolt since the Hasmonean insurrection that has ended in victory. The rule of oppression in our country has been beaten, uprooted, and it has crumbled and been dispersed. The State of Israel has arisen in bloody battle. The highway for the mass return to Zion has been cast up." End quote. Thus, Begin saw his military rebellion modeled on the Maccabees. When Begin first visited New York as prime minister, he flummoxed many by going out of his way to have a long private meeting with the Lubavitcher Rebbe, emphasizing his own humble respect for rabbinic leaders, insisting that he had to pay homage to the rabbi, not the reverse. But what is often missed is that the Rebbe himself marveled at the way in which Begin conducted himself and at the contrast between Begin and his predecessors. An article on Chabad.org gives us an excerpt of a letter that the Rebbe wrote to an acquaintance. Quote, "I trust you have followed closely the highlights and details of this visit and compared it with those of his predecessors. Here, for the first time, came a Jewish prime minister who declared in a loud and clear voice that he comes strengthened by the prayers of his fellow Jews at home and abroad and trusts in God and the eternity of his people that his mission will be successful. And as you surely know, when he sat down to break bread with President Carter, he made sure that it would be a kosher meal, and he put on a yarmulke, skullcap, and made a bracha, blessing, and explained to the president the meaning of it." End quote. Perhaps the most important example of this aspect of Begin's identity was his insistence that El Al would no longer fly on the Sabbath. As Yehuda Avner reports, amidst the boos of his Knesset opponents and their insistence that such a plan would incur financial loss, Begin responded, quote, "This house should know it is not necessary to be an observant Jew to appreciate the full historic and sacred aura that enshrines this perfect gift called Shabbat. Its prohibitions are not arbitrary. They provide insulation against corrosive everydayness. They build fences against invasions by the profane, and they enrich the soul by creating a space for sacred time. In a word, one need not be pious to accept the cherished principle of Shabbat. One merely needs to be a proud Jew." End quote. So Begin said. He was a man who called himself a fighting Jew, but he also relied on prayers, and he exhorted his fellow citizens to reflect pride in their faith. This was a man who modeled himself on the Maccabees. And it was this that we will see the Rebbe and Begin both understood marked the Maccabees themselves, a fusion of public faith and a willingness to fight. And this vision was born with a man named Mattathias, Mattatyahu of the family Chashmonai. We do not know much about Mattatyahu, and we are even uncertain as to the derivation of his family name, Chashmonai. Rabbinic liturgy seems to describe him as the son of a high priest in Jerusalem, and the Book of Maccabees implies that he had been living as a priest, a Kohen, in Jerusalem itself, at the time of its paganization at the hands of the Seleucids. Some literature of the period describes the terrible persecution that ensued under Apollonius, the general of Antiochus, who had been sent to enforce paganism and Hellenism as a rule. In such a society, Sabbath, circumcision, and other aspects of observance elemental to Jewish life were forbidden on pain of death. There were many Jews that resisted, and their resistance was entirely made up of martyrdom. We have horrible descriptions of women who ensured that their children were circumcised, only for the mothers to be executed and their babies hung around their necks. We have stories of children who refused to bow to idols and were executed for their heroic refusal. It is in such a moment of faith, but also darkness and despair, that Mattathias the Hasmonean appears to us, his story largely told in one chapter of the first book of Maccabees, a chapter that we will analyze today. According to the text, Mattathias had been living in Jerusalem along with his five sons, Yochanan, Shimon, Judah or Yehuda, Eleazar, and Yonatan, Jonathan. As the decrees ensued, Mattatyahu does not immediately emerge as a fighter. Rather, he bemoans the fate of the Jewish people, saying as follows, "Alas, Why was I born to see this, the ruin of my people, the ruin of the holy city, and to dwell there when it was given over to the enemy, the sanctuary over to aliens? Her glorious vessels have been carried into captivity. Her babes have been killed in her streets, her youths by the sword of the foe. What nation has not inherited her palaces and has not seized her spoils? All her adornment has been taken away. No longer free, she has become a slave. And behold, our holy place, our beauty, and our glory have been laid waste. The Gentiles have profaned it. Why should we live any longer? So Mattathias says, in profound pain, why should we live any longer? At this moment, it seems that Mattathias and his family have no plans to fight. Instead, they decamp to a town called Modiin. But if Mattathias' intention is to avoid any interaction with state-enforced Hellenism, it is unsuccessful. The chapter of the Maccabees' origin story continues. Then the king's officers who were enforcing the apostasy came to the city of Modiin to make them offer sacrifice. Many from Israel came to them, and Mattathias and his sons were assembled. Then the king's officers spoke to Mattathias as follows. You are a leader, honored and great in the city, and supported by sons and brothers. Now be the first to come and do what the king commands, as all the Gentiles and the men of Judah and those that are left in Jerusalem have done. Then you and your sons will be numbered among the friends of the king, and you and your sons will be honored with silver and gold and many gifts. But Mattathias answered and said in a loud voice, even if all the nations that live under the rule of the king obey him and have chosen to do his commandments, departing each one from the religion of his fathers, yet I and my sons and my brothers will live by the covenant of our fathers. Far be it from us to desert the law and the ordinances. We will not obey the king's words by turning aside from our religion to the right hand or to the left. So Mattathias exclaims to the pagan servants of the Seleucid emperor. Here again, it seems that Mattathias is passive, prepared for martyrdom. And then something snaps within him. The text of Maccabees continues. When he had finished speaking these words, a Jew came forward in the sight of all to offer sacrifice upon the altar in Modiin, according to the king's command. When Mattathias saw it, he burned with zeal and his heart was stirred. He gave vent to righteous anger. He ran and killed him upon the altar. At the same time, he killed the king's officer who was forcing them to sacrifice, and he tore down the altar. And the passage concludes, then Mattathias cried out in the city with a loud voice, saying, let everyone who is zealous for the law and supports the covenant come out with me. And he and his sons fled to the hills and left all that they had in the city. Thus did the Hasmonean rebellion break out. This is, to my knowledge, the first rebellion to ever ensue in the name of the Jewish faith that was in specific response to religious persecution. We have, of course, rebellions against Assyria from Hezekiah and against Babel from Zedekiah in the First Temple period. And those were related to faith, but they were first and foremost about sovereignty. Here it is faith that is at issue, and it is faith that fuels the fighting father of the Hasmonean dynasty. Thus it is that Mattathias is both a spiritual and military figure, issuing religious rulings even as he plans military maneuvers, making public faith elemental to his persona. The two subjects, faith and military strategy, suddenly go hand in hand when the Hellenists begin to attack on the Jewish Sabbath, and some Jewish rebels refuse to fight back. The text of 1 Maccabees again. Then many who were seeking righteousness and justice went down to the wilderness to dwell there, they, their sons, their wives, and their cattle, because evils pressed heavily upon them. And it was reported to the king's officers and to the troops in Jerusalem, the city of David, that men who had rejected the king's command had gone down to the hiding places in the wilderness. Many pursued them and overtook them. They encamped opposite them and prepared for battle against them on the Sabbath day. And they said to them, enough of this, come out and do what the king commands and you will live. But they said, we will not come out, nor will we do what the king commands and so profane the Sabbath day. Then the enemy hastened to attack them, but they did not answer them or hurl stone at them or block up their hiding places, for they said, let us all die in our innocence. Heaven and earth testify for us that you are killing us unjustly. So they attacked them on the Sabbath and they died, with their wives and children and cattle to the number of 1,000 persons. So this chapter in Maccabees reports. And we must understand the mindset of those that died. Just as many were willing to risk their lives and martyr themselves rather than give in on the issue of idolatry or abstention from circumcision, these Jews, refusing to fight on the Sabbath, perhaps believed that to fight on the Sabbath would itself embody a form of concession and submission to religious coercion, a victory for the Hellenists who sought to stamp out the Sabbath itself. But for Mattathias, it is the Sabbath that must give way in this circumstance, and thus this religious and military leader puts forward a religious and military argument. Quote, when Mattathias and his friends learned of it, they mourned for them deeply, and each said to his neighbor, if we all do as our brethren have done, and refuse to fight with the Gentiles for our lives and our ordinances, they will quickly destroy us from the earth. So they made this decision that day. Let us fight against every man who comes to attack us on the Sabbath day. Let us not all die as our brethren died in their hiding places. Thus, the Jews who decided to fight on the Sabbath thereby embodied the Talmudic principle that the salvation of lives overrides the Sabbath. But the import of this principle is often misunderstood as implying that the Sabbath is meaningless when compared to the Jewish concern for life. But the truth is better stated as follows. The Sabbath illustrates why for Jews life is so worth living. The explanation in the Talmud for why Jews such as these fought on the Sabbath is noteworthy. Chalel alav Shabbat achat, kidei shishmor harbe Shabbatot. One should violate one Sabbath so that many can be kept. For the Jews, in other words, it was the promise of future sanctity that lent meaning to the very lives for which they fought. Mattathias was willing to fight for his faith even on the Sabbath, and it was for the future of faith for which he fought. As important as Mattathias was to Jewish history, the end of this chapter in the book of Maccabees brings his story to a close. We meet him in the text on his deathbed, bequeathing political leadership to his son, Shimon, and the responsibility of military strategy to his son, named Judah. Up until this point, little in the text is told of the latter individual, one of the most famous fighting Jews in history. It would only be after the death of his father that Judah's true genius would be revealed, though his father clearly saw that genius within. We will discuss the essence of Judah's brilliance in tomorrow's episode. But for now, we bring our own episode to a close with the recorded exhortation of Mattathias, a father on his deathbed, where strikingly, he gives no further military advice and instead speaks to them of the faith of so many in the past who had overcome hardships. Some mention are political figures, but others are not. What binds these figures in Jewish history is faith. Mattathias says, "Remember the deeds of the fathers, which they did in their generations and received great honor and an everlasting name. Was not Abraham found faithful when tested, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness? Joseph, in the time of his distress, kept the commandments and became lord of Egypt. Phinehas, our father, because he was deeply zealous, received the covenant of everlasting priesthood. Joshua, because he fulfilled the command, became a judge in Israel. Caleb, because he testified in the assembly, received an inheritance in the land. David, because he was merciful, inherited the throne of the kingdom forever. Elijah, because of great zeal for the law, was taken up into heaven. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael believed and were saved from the flame. Daniel, because of his innocence, was delivered from the mouth of the lions. And so observe from generation to generation that none who put their trust in him will lack strength." Faith is a source of strength. This is what Mattathias embodied. And this is what we are seeing right now in Israel in the current war. Soon after October 7th, El Al, for the first time since Begin's premiership, and with the approval of the chief rabbinate, scheduled some flights on the Sabbath in order to bring reservists home. It struck me that this was a policy that Begin would surely have embraced, and the violation of the Sabbath to allow for the fighting against Israel's enemy mirrored the Maccabees and the decision they made, the joining of reverence and military bravery. And mirroring the Maccabees is exactly what Begin had hoped for from his countrymen. The aforementioned article from Chabad.org concludes by telling us that some months after his meeting with the Rebbe, Begin visited a Chabad community in Israel, giving voice to the challenge that he felt Israelis faced at that moment. The article tells us what Begin said, quote, "The Rebbe says to every individual that we need to uphold our right to the land of our forefathers so that it should be the possession of our children for many generations to come. We need to renew the belief of the Maccabees. This is the message of the distinguished person and great man," the prime minister says, adding some of his own thoughts. "I suggest that we all ascend on Hanukkah, the holiday of freedom, to Jerusalem, to the Western Wall, with one heart and say a prayer for the continued right to the land of Israel. The prayers should be received, and may all of us merit to better and great days of security and peace." End quote. So Begin said, "Today we see the faith of the Maccabees being renewed again. May their prayers be received, and through victory, may they merit better and great days of security and peace." This is Meir Soloveitchik wishing you a luminous and meaningful Hanukkah. Signing off.